All right, it's 2 o'clock and we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And if everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And Lynn, if you could please do the roll call.
Trustee Coleman?
Here.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Quiatek?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Lubai is absent. And Trustee Lupoli?
Here.
Great, thank you. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. With that, Tom, I will turn the gavel over to you.
No. Always wanted to do that. At this time, we're at our election of officers, and I will do the part for chair, so I will need a motion for chair.
I'd like to make a motion for Randy Howard for chair.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Not hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Randy. I'm going to do my part and give it back to you there.
That didn't close the meeting, though.
No, it didn't. Yeah, just my part.
All righty. Can I have a motion for vice chair?
I would like to make a motion for Bob Lloyd as vice chair.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, and I did speak to Gary Lubai. His interest in representing the board on the Housing Corp continues there. And haven't mentioned it to ask Randy, but Randy, on interest in the staying on the foundation?
Sure.
Great.
Excellent. Excellent.
I do.
Okay. A public hearing on college policies. Rodney.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have before you policy number 7.05. Regarding the admission of students. The language is being revised to comply with the State Board of Education requirements as it relates to admissions and residency requirements. So this will be the first of two readings, and the next reading will be brought to you at the next board meeting. Be happy to answer any questions, but if there are none, I request your approval for this first reading.
Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And with that, we will move to the consent agenda.
I'm going to recuse myself from the approval of agreements and affiliation. The Westbury and Treasure Family Dentistry, Wendy Westbury, that owns the practice, is my cousin. So,
excellent. So why don't we do that one first, and Rob, you can abstain. Can I have a motion for that one?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then any other from the consent agenda somebody wants to pull or talk about? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Great. Both pass. A few items for information only, agreements and surplus donations, as always. And with that, Dr. Labasso, back to you.
Hey, thank you. We've had a busy summer, and we, again, thank you for the special board meeting. We had that lease signed and approved. We've got it returned from the county, so we are in the process of getting our building going, and we have an item to address later today on that. Some meet and greets. Our fall planning started this week, so I did a welcome back to the faculty and staff this week, and the energy is very positive, a lot of exciting things that are happening, met with some new faculty. We had an orientation for them, and also been out to see a few of our exhibition matches. Our volleyball team is going to be a team to watch this year. I'm going to call that one now, and both men and women's soccer, I think, are going to be pretty competitive. But it's always an exciting, we get to, in our job here, get to turn a new page, new chapter every fall. So it's an exciting time to, you know, start a new semester. And just the other day, I was at the fitness center, and our front desk person was talking to a student. I walked in, said, "Oh, let me introduce you to college president." and it was a young lady from Brazil, and I didn't think she was an athlete, and I asked her, what brought you to Daytona State from Brazil? And she said, well, I want to be a nurse, and I went online, and your college popped up as like the top five, and here she is. So I thought that was pretty neat. Pretty neat, yeah. So we're attracting them from everywhere, which is nice to, and kudos to the nursing program for having the doing such a good job and having our reputation transcend across the globe. But so I think we're seeing more and more of that, you know, with the college's reputation and Daytona State being a destination institution. So with that concludes my report.
Excellent. And before I turn it over to Marty for finance, I'm going to yield the floor momentarily to Trustee Dye.
Well, thank you. This takes a lot.
Are you going to stand at the podium?
Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, you hear the pattern of excellence that's established in our institution in all levels. Specifically, we talk about athletics and some of the stars of the program and the national championship wins here and, you know, some second places here and there, but just a tremendous tremendous performance. And any organization has any athletic organization, any college organization, it requires a solid financial organization. And so I would say to you, and we've submitted this before, that we have a national champion among us, Marty. The problem is that Marty doesn't get recognized. There's no competition out there for Marty. In fact, I mean, he sets the standard, if you really want to know the truth. So an elf and myself and some others have thought it was appropriate to honor you with a national championship trophy, Marty. So if you don't mind coming up here and receiving your award, we'll let the architect of the award go unnamed for the moment. We'll see whether you like it, and then we'll tell you, okay? But, you know, some of the tools of the trade are a part of this. The heading here is National Championship Bean Counting, presented to Daytona State College Department of Finance and Accounting. You'll see one of the tools of the trade, and of course, there's some beans there for you to pick.
Randy, is there a ring?
Well,
we're not going to get married. Oh, I'm sorry. One of your associates is the architect of the shop.
Oh, I can only imagine. We'll put it in the trophy case.
There you go.
The rest of
that's great. Better have an extra good presentation today.
Good is short, then it's stellar.
Thank you, Trustee Dye. That was unexpected, and
but not undeserved.
Not undeserved. Great surprise, and I'll share it with the team, and great recognition. I appreciate it. Well, it's going to be hard to move on with that. Well, I will, you know, I wasn't kidding when I said I'll keep it brief. This is the month that I do not present a full presentation for August because we're still closing out the prior year and establishing beginning balances and so forth. So I can tell you it's been a busy summer for finance, as it is every summer. We're working on our year-end closing. We always have multiple audits in progress. It goes right with the award. So we just finished up the December 31st, 2025 foundation audit. Just got issued. I'm proud to say it was a clean, unmodified opinion. So however many years running, right, Kristen? We were doing a stellar job on that side. So hats off to the foundation staff. Jim Zablosky out of my office kind of leads that operation for us. And another smooth audit there. So we'll work on the 990 tax return, information return.
is in progress for that one now. And then we're wrapping up the Housing Corporation, our other DSO audit, as we speak, because that needs to be incorporated into the college AFR that goes to the state here in a few days. So it's not quite issued, but any day now. But so I feel comfortable sharing that it's a clean, unmodified opinion for the Housing Corp as well. So there we go, two audits, 2-0 there on those two. So we're very happy with the outcome there. What else? Other than that, yeah, our AFR, it got extended by the state by a few days. Normally we submit the package on April 5th or August 15th. This year they had some trouble getting us from the state level a few CONDS, capital outlay and debt service entries that each institution needs to book their share of. So we each year for some reason that they comes quite late in the year. This year a little later than most, so they extended us until August 24th of next week is when our submission deadline is now. So we're in good shape. I've been working closely with my controller Tina Myers and the team, and we feel real good. Going to do our final reviews this week and next week and get that package submitted. So I'm feeling confident there as well. With that, I do have some informational items. Our payments over $50,000 for 2 months dating back to June, and then the July group. There we go. So the first batch is the June, pretty big list because we're doing making a lot of payments there in the final month of the year. And July, the first of the new year. So I reviewed that with the team, nothing unusual there, normal course of business. And that concludes my short report, unless we have any questions or comments.
Great. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. Thanks again, Randy.
Yep. Alan.
Thank you. Short and sweet as well. So just a quick point of order. You'll notice on the agenda, which is incorrect due to an error on my part, we're looking for the construction GMP, and that was not available for this meeting. So due to communication error, they did not have time to pull it together legally. So they're still out to bid on all those items. So what we're presenting today is the site GMP for the aircraft and maintenance facility. Barton has submitted a construction estimate of $2,426,037 for the site work. We're requesting a total authorization of $2.8 million. That would be inclusive of permits, builder's risk insurance, and some other testing that we have to do on site. The good news is the original estimate from Barton came in at $3.1 million. So they're about $700,000 under where we thought we were going to be, and hopefully the construction holds in line with that, and things start coming down. So what we're needing today is approval for the contract with Barton Malloy to fund them for the $2,426,037 and a total authorization of $2.8 million.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
And Jody.
So as a faculty member, I always like to point out that we don't like to let students out of class early. And so since finance had a short report and facilities had a short report, I have 4 items for us today. 2 of them are curricular. 1 has to do with the degree program that you have already seen, and the other one has to do with the textbook affordability. So I don't know if we want to take all of them at once or if you want to do them individually.
And they're all different, so why don't we just do them real quick, one by one?
Absolutely. All right, so the first one has to do with the general education curriculum. This is for the 2027-28 academic year. So we've already approved the 27-26. You actually reviewed that again last month. This is for the 27-28. And what we have here is after review of our general education curriculum, we have a couple of courses that needed some minor modifications to their course descriptions. And so we've reported those to the state. And if you approve We made these modifications in Survey of Art History 1 and 2, as well as an Introduction to Oceanography Lab and Oral Communications, which is our speech class that we offer. And then we have two new courses that we're very excited about. We are bringing back American Lit, so we have both the early and the late American literature as options for students taking the communications courses or interested in majoring in English. And then we have some deletions as well of courses that just have not been offered in a while, and or were decided that they really probably didn't belong well in general education. And so the ones that we are taking out of general education, not deleted off the books, but out of general education, are the physical science class as well as world history after 1500. And so the list is here. Everything else stayed exactly the same, just like what we had for this upcoming year. And we recommend that you approve the 27-28 list for general education course offerings.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Excellent. All right, the next one is a larger list of course deletions. This has to do with the Florida Administrative Code 6A-10.0331. This is the one that says if you have a course that you haven't taught in 5 years, you don't have to take it off the books, but why is it still there? And so we assess those, and then we say, you know, actually, yes, this course is probably not something that we are going to offer anytime soon, or it hasn't had enrollment in 5 years. And so we have a list of those courses here. And so we do have to have board approval for these deletions as well. You'll see it; they are through a variety of different departments. And we recommend that we accept, that the board accepts these course deletions.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, and I'm very sad that Trustee Labaya is not here because this is his favorite item. So this is sad. But don't worry, we'll talk about it again coming up in September. So we are required to bring to you our affordability and transparency report, which will come to you next month. Our internal process here at Daytona State is to also allow the Board of Trustees to continue to review our textbook costs, so the course materials costs. And so this is what you have here. This is for the entire academic year for 25-26. It is the courses that are general education and or high enrollment courses. And so this shows all of those textbook costs here. We do continue to pay a lot of attention to textbook costs, looking for ways that we can make things more affordable for students. We've increased our number of open educational resources that we have available in our courses. We've partnered with our bookstore. You might recall over the last year, we have rolled out the First Day program, where there are digital materials, which are inherently a little bit less expensive, that are part of these courses that are then embedded. And when they're embedded in the course and the student gets access on the very first day, Barnes & Noble actually affords us a little more of a discount on some of those materials. Faculty work very hard to try to bundle the materials. So if you're in a particular AS program, it may be that you buy one book or you buy one package and it helps you through the entire program. So we're very mindful of all of that. That being said, we have this list here, and this is an information only item. If anybody has any questions about that, I'm happy to try to answer those.
I have one quick question. Sure. Looking at all of the pricing, is there ever an exercise to just compare us to the other colleges to see where our textbook prices are compared to the other ones?
Yes, and so the state has actually done that and has looked and said, you know, we are doing really well as a system, and there are not large disparities between the institutions. Right. Yeah.
Right. I could add, you know, in talking to Gary, going over this, he did ask, and I pass on to Jody, just to do a look back, maybe the last 5 years, to see how the overall prices are trending. You know, so the team's going to work on that, and hopefully have some information on that in September, just to see. You know, my gut says they've been pretty stable, and in a lot of ways we've been able to reduce with the bundling and the embedding in the course, because you get some courses you get almost a 50% discount on a book if you embed it in the course. And again, one of our must-haves was we wanted the option for students to opt out in case their older brother or sister took the course 2 years ago and it's the same text. I can just get it for free. So that is a function there. So it's not, you don't have to buy it. But that can reduce the cost 25%, 30%, and I've seen even 50% reductions in book cost by being part of that program. So we're going to give you a little summary of that hopefully by next month.
Right. Yeah, we did a little sneak peek, and from the 24-25 academic year to the 25-26 academic year, and you see the list of course materials that we have here, there were only 9 courses that actually had increases, and most of them were minor, and it was really, I think, probably due to just inflation for printing costs and things like that. So
that's great.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of outliers, but, you know, science textbooks tend to, if you've ever studied what happens with printing and you print in color and you have diagrams and there's color on one side but maybe not on the other side, you still pay that upcharge for both pages and printing. So I learned that when I took one of my many science classes. So it's like, why are our books so expensive? The student in my biochemistry class sat behind me, his dad worked for one of the printing companies and explained it to me. So I was like, oh, you learn something new every day, even if it wasn't about biochemistry. So, all right, any other questions on that one?
You get a motion?
It was just information.
Just info?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. All right, and our final one is also just an information item. You might recall we've approved some of these specialized, you all have approved these specialized Associate of Arts transfer degrees. These are degrees that that the state created so that students who were taking, speaking of science classes, looking to get into programs where there were a number of prerequisite either math or science courses that they had to get through, like engineering is a perfect example. There's a lot of math that comes into that, and if they test in at one of the lower levels, it takes them a while to get there. Same thing if you're trying to get into nursing, you may finish your AA and still have a couple of prerequisites that you need to do. And so these degree programs allow students to take those extra credits. So it allows us to have capacity to provide variable credits so students can continue to get financial aid. And these are linked to specific pathways with specific universities. Now, the reason we're bringing this back as an information item is after we brought these to you originally, we received some additional guidance. Initially, we were allowed to have the classification of instructional program, the parent number. So in this case, these are both biologies. So their SIP code is 26. We were able to have those together. And as we started working on the actual pathway that will lead to the transfer to the intended university, we've realized that's not going to work. And so across the state, as we have been putting these packages together, we've been unbundling those. And that's all this is just to let you know the curriculum is not changing. We are just unbundling them so that we have biomedical sciences as one and biology as one. And those will lead to 2 pathways, specifically to UCF and then other universities as they wish to engage with us.
Nice.
We just wanted to bring it back so you knew what was happening.
Great, thank you.
That concludes my report.
Okay, Tom, back to you for constituent heads.
Okay. And I think I saw, and we're going to start off with our SGA president, Antonio Valley. Saw Antonio earlier. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everyone. I forgot this is already 2 p.m. today. This day flew by. It's good to be back here. Here we are. So, of course, student government, we have all our new officers in. We've completed some of our training days. So I have a lot to tell you guys about today. We've been planning out this new semester, getting ready for it. I love our new officers. They're all fantastic. So, which direction am I pressing this one?
Right.
Towards you?
No. Yeah. Oh, how did those on?
No. Thank you.
Little things.
So, of course, we do have our residence hall move-in. So we did have our preseason move-in. I sadly did not get to attend that. I was still on the way back into the state. I was on a road trip from Wisconsin. But from the SGA officers that did attend, they told me it was fantastic. We've had some of those new residents on campus. I've gotten to meet some of the new ones who came in as I've been walking around. And then, of course, this upcoming Friday, we have our next move-in, the main big move-in when everyone's coming in. So I'm excited to see all our new athletes, you know, hopefully get to see all those championships we'll be going to this year. And then, of course, we did have our summer enrollment days as well. We did table on August 8th and then also back in June. And then, of course, all these incoming students wanting to know what clubs do we offer, what's student government all about, how can I get involved, Well, I was happy to be able to tell them, along with our other officers, just, you know, get them informed, hey, how can you stop by, join a club, form a club? And then upcoming, we do have our club rush. So as all those students are, you know, showing up, they get to go to that club rush and actually find out. You guys will hear a little bit about that in just a second. And of course, we did just have our big three officer training days. We did have them all clumped up in one big three-day group. We were in there probably 8 hours each, so it was a full three work days. We were planning out some different events that are coming up that I'll be telling you about, and also just fleshing out, you know, what are you expected to do as an officer? What's your role in our team, really? We have all these officers are new. We have Tristan up at the top. He's our new executive treasurer. Autumn in the bottom left, she's our new vice president. And then Eva down there, she is our new senator of student activities. So we just got to work planning out everything, making sure that we're ready for this upcoming semester. And then, of course, we do have our welcome backs coming up. Those are always very exciting, including our club rush that coincides with our welcome back on the Daytona Beach campus. What's always fun about this is it seems like we always have 5 or 10 new clubs that are always showing up, getting new members, all those new students, finding out how they can get involved. It's always something cool and new going on. And then, of course, we also have our welcome backs at all of our regional campuses as well. Especially here, I'm very excited here with all those new 3D printers we have out in the main area. I love 3D printing. I think it's really cool. So getting to see that students get to enjoy that as well, it's pretty exciting. So as you can see, we have our dates coming up. We'll be doing the very first week over in New Smyrna Beach and right here. So we'll be getting to work there, and I can't wait to show you guys some of the pictures from those new events. And then we do have our Falcon Free movie series. We're going to be doing the Mario Galaxy movie. That's a pretty exciting movie, honestly. I really want to see it. Maybe it's just the child in me, but it seems like a fun movie. And then, of course, on Constitution Day, we'll be playing Hamilton. So that's I'll be watching that whole thing. I know that's like 3 hours long or something, but it's always a lot of fun to sit down and watch. But speaking of Constitution Day, it is America's 250th this year, so we're going to be planning out some cool new things. I'm trying to convince all the student government officers to dress up as founding fathers, and we'll be doing a you know, an interactive presentation, talking with students, discussing, you know, the elements of the Constitution, how that was ultimately laid out, that whole assembly, just how we came up with those ideas and what how those were implemented. And then we also have that awesome-looking bounce house that I can't wait for. So it should be a really fun Constitution Day this year. And of course, Hispanic Heritage Day, that's always a ton of fun. Clubs always bring their different boards. They represent different countries. We have food. We usually play some music. I believe Hector is going to be dancing this year. He'll be doing a little dance class. So that should be a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm always excited for this. I believe this is my second one that we're doing. So, and then, of course, intramural sports. Students love that. Every single semester, they're out there. You can see we have our list of all the different dates that we'll be doing that. We have intramural volleyball, and then we're going to be doing some little tournaments on a couple of those days as well. And then this is our old picture. We'll be coming out with a new one, still waiting on our brand new shirts, so can't wait to show you all that. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Great, thank you, Antonio. Next up for Administrators Council, Rachel Dougherty. And Rachel's shop helped coordinate the planning week. Great job.
Thank you, Dr. Labasso. That was going to be my update, is that because administrators across the campuses are super involved in getting back to the semester and in fall planning this week, we meet on September 1st. So we took the summer off, and we'll be right back into it in just a week and a half. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're good. And career and professional employees, John Pennies. John here. Oh, it's April.
Hello and good afternoon, everyone. So the Cape Council met on August 6th, and we voted to consolidate our foundation funds from our previous career and professional employee councils. And we have our current combined balance is almost $10,000. So the council launched two new subcommittees, the Wellness Committee and the Scholarship Committee. And both committees had their first meetings this week. The Wellness Committee is focusing on brainstorming employee wellness initiatives, including physical, mental, emotional, and financial wellness programs. Ideas that we discussed included workshops, wellness challenges, social activities, campus-wide engagement efforts, fundraising opportunities, and partnership with other college departments. The committee is now working to prioritize activities for implementation this semester and plans to bring financial wellness presentation to our next Cape Council meeting. And the scholarship committee held its initial meeting, and we began discussing opportunities to review the scholarship process to improve consistency and enhance employee and student scholarship programs. So that's our update.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, April. And Dr. Karen Braley for Faculty Senate.
Good afternoon. Before I start talking about fall, I need to go back in time a little, as I had some conflicts and have not been here for a meeting or two. And I do need to, on behalf of the faculty, express our gratitude to all the people involved in planning the commencement that happened in May. It was so well organized, such a huge event, and I know everybody involved had to put in a ton of effort, and I did not want to let it go by without expressing our gratitude, so thank you. As far as meetings, we have not met yet, but one of my favorite things as Faculty Senate President is presenting the Faculty Senate Awards to my colleagues. And these are awards, nominations by faculty, voted on by faculty. And again, this year, Dr. Labasso was gracious enough to allow us to do that during the formal ceremony, which just gives so much just a real feel of accomplishment to these individuals. So I really want to thank him again for allowing us to do that. And I do just want to quickly give you the names of the award winners because I do think they deserve to stand out one more time. So from the School of Humanities, we had two winners. We had the Outstanding Adjunct Award to Professor Kimberly Bell, who does a lot of our dance choreography. The other winner was for Community Service and Outreach. That's Professor Stacy Reynolds, who does a lot of art exhibits. So congratulations to those two. From the School of Communications, we had two winners. The Dr. James R. Johnson Award for Teaching Excellence went to Dr. Jessica Kester. And the Les Simons Award for Student Advocacy went to Dr. Jessica Lipsy. Two Jessicas. In the School of SLS or Student Life Skills, the Faculty Advocacy Award went to Dr. Ted Sofianis. And the Dr. John J. Guthrie Jr. Award for Research and Professional Development went to the Chair of the Social Sciences, Dr. Michael Flota, who actually happens to be sitting right over there. And finally, we have what's called an Instructional Support and Encouragement Award, and this goes to a group that really is, it's non-faculty, but they're just essential in our daily job. And it turns out this group is actually essential for a lot of parts of the college. They got a really good round of applause. And that is a group of three, Scott Unkrich, Oren Kelly, Todd Gillian, and they are commonly known as the DSC Print Shop. So those were our winners, and I will see you again at the next meeting.
Thank you.
That concludes the constituents' report.
Okay, with that, I have one action item that I would move to approve, an amendment to the president's contract. If I could have a second?
Yes.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Great meeting today. Let me start off by just thanking all the folks involved in the tour. I see a few of them over there. It's always like to look back at our mission statement as I'm sitting here occasionally, and some of the things we saw today, all of the things we saw today actually really, really resonate
with me well with that. The open access to educational programs that transform student lives. It's, you know, everything we saw today are things that we are constantly needing somebody to do. Fix something, repair something, design something new, whether it's, you know, a new technology, a new way to protect our computer systems, a new interior design for a building, whatever it might be. Careers that are in demand in our community, and you can tell by the people that were showing us their programs, they take pride in what they do, and they're excited when their students succeed. So kudos to all of you, to great programs, and it was great to see some of the really neat work that's taking place. I don't think all of us were standing around at the end, but the one faculty member whose name is escaping me right now showed us, a few of us, some of the designs that they came up with in the lab, and one of them was a water bike for the ocean and the river that actually folds up and fits in your car. And it was fascinating to me that they had designed this, fabricated it, and as I understand it, are now building them and renting them as a business. So clearly transforming some students' lives and helping the community we serve. And so that's great. To my fellow board members, just, you know, I know a lot of you are on a lot of boards, and every time I say this, this is just a great board, and so it's an honor to be on it again. It's an honor to be working with each of you. Each of you has, you know, such amazing backgrounds and expertise that you offer the board, from the companies you work for, the companies you own, all the other things in the community that you're involved in. So I look forward to another great year working with each of us as a cohesive board. You know, I'm just going to end with, you know, if you look in higher ed right now, and you look at it in the news, I think oftentimes the media and maybe the general public get bogged down by some of the negatives they hear. And it's always important to me to kind of ground ourselves and just remind us that if you look at the state of Florida, it's number one in higher education, has been for several years. And then if you look within the state of Florida, you know, there's not a ranking per se, but I would argue Daytona State College is at the top of that list. And it's you just see it in everything we see when we're at the board meetings. You saw it today. I mean, all the conversation just about the cost of textbooks. And, you know, Gary would have been proud, even though he's not here, that it's something that this board takes so serious because the college takes so serious because it impacts affordability. So, you know, a long time ago, I'm kind of I like following corporate history and what made companies good or bad. And there was when the AT&T and the Bell system had to diversify, they created these baby Bells. And all of the Bell systems but one didn't do very well. And the only one that did really good was Bell South, which was responsible for this region. And I remember one speech, I think it was an investor relations speech, but the CEO of the company was kind of asked, hey, why are you doing so well and all of the other baby Bells struggling after the breakup? And he had like a four-word answer, and he said, good people doing good things. And it just, to me, that's Daytona State. So just want to say thanks for all the good people. It starts at the top, goes all the way down, and I think every day you guys are doing good things. So for that, I thank you. With that, Bob, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, how do you follow that? I will say ditto, and thank you for the confidence and the vote to continue to serve as vice chairman. It is a privilege, and I don't take it lightly, and all the good things, and it's an exciting time, fall semester beginning, and here we go, you know, and soon enough we'll be talking about commencement, but this is a really exciting time, and go Falcons.
Kelly.
Oh, that was fast, Bob. I just want to say congratulations to you both. It's an honor to serve with you and with everyone on this board. A great meeting today, nice and efficient. But the tour of the ATC was is just a standout. I agree. The facility is really neat. This is not particularly profound, but like everything you're doing in this building is so necessary, right? And then it's really the faculty and the staff that we got to listen to, and the passion and the work and the concern for the students. It's really, just should have said ditto to Randy. It was remarkable, and I thank you for your time and for taking such good care of our community. And with that, the happy new start to the school year. I can feel the energy, and I'm excited for another great year. Go Falcons.
Randy.
Well, all kidding aside, I think that, you know, you said it about people. That sets the standard of excellence. All the resources combined together would be useless without the quality of people that we have. So, and I like Kelly, each department that we stopped at, you know, they're really very passionate about their individual department. Somebody that's applying for multiple grants, somebody else that's getting new machinery, on and on and on and on. But collectively, that's all, you know, every time you go on one of our workshops and you talk to the different departments, that's a common thread. So it's no wonder that we rise to this occasion. And I also want to say, again, with Tom, we were at another event this morning where we were speaking to, or speaking with, and trying to attract a Japanese delegation to our community through the economic development side. Without Daytona State College, we can't even have that conversation, you know, because we provide the workforce, the ability to adapt training to specific industries that come here is quite amazing. So before I choke to death, go Falcons, and congratulations, Marty, on your national championship.
Thank you.
Kelly was going to hand you
I was like, I don't know. What do I do?
Just don't do the Heimlich. Where I would.
Sorry, Nelly.
You know, I get nervous when Randy gets a microphone, so when he got up there, I don't know what was going to happen, but Marty, congratulations on your national championship. I think you deserve a gold ring, like you get for the sport, so I think you should demand one. Thank you so much for the tour today. What an incredible facility. And it was really cool, like, you know, to go into a room and be like, oh, like, there's some local employers here. Like, that's amazing. The collaboration with the community, with the local employers, that's a really big deal. And I think in so many ways, this college continues to give back to the community. So it's really such a privilege to get to be a part of that. And thank you for that opportunity. And go Falcons.
Yeah, thank you. Robbie.
So I sit on the Father Lopez Catholic High School board as well and got a copy of their commencement, and it lists all the students and where they went to school, where they're going to college or university. And I think it was 24% of the graduates are coming to Daytona State, and I think that's just an amazing testament to the things that have been done before I was here to, you know, improve the education and offer things where kids are looking at it and they realize that they can get a fulfilling career when they graduate. And so I was very happy to see that. I mean, in all, about 47% of the students are going to remain in Volusia County. And what that does for us, from, you know, as our community continues to grow, I think the horizon is very bright for us, and go Falcons.
Thank you. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone.